One, started last week looking at verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Again, that's that knowing God is the natural consciousness of God. It's not the saving knowledge of the Lord. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. This rejection of God that is spoken of throughout Romans chapter 1 is very clearly manifested in the humanist manifestos number 1, number 2, number 3. 1933, 1973, and 2003. And the humanist manifestos, of course, just are pretty similar to a church's statement of faith. And humanism, being a religion, has their own statement of what they believe. The Supreme Court cited that secular humanism is religion. They did that in 1961. They declared that secular humanism was a religion. It is the only religion that is allowed in public education, the public education system today. On June 17, 1963, the Supreme Court banned prayer. They banned government-endorsed prayer, Bible reading, in public schools. Wasn't always followed, wasn't always practiced. But my point is that the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the religion of secular humanism. They've been doing the same thing ever since. And again, it's just proof in our society, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. 1968, the Supreme Court overturned state laws that banned the teaching of evolution in government-funded schools. In doing so, they again ruled in favor of the religion of secular humanism. And again, they proved, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So here we are today. People are, they talk about the younger generations, how they don't think right, and so on. And that's all true. There's always exceptions, of course. But why? How did that happen? And we're looking at it. We, for the most part, as a society, gave our children over to the religion of humanism. You did not raise your children. You would not permit them to go to the Church of Christ. You would not permit them to go to a Nazarene church or a Catholic church or a Lutheran church. But yet those same parents sent their children to the Church of Humanism. And the truth is this. God's people can, we can be very hard on the younger generation, but there comes a time when God's people better look in the mirror and fall on their knees, asking God's forgiveness for sacrificing their children on the altars of humanism. So here we are. We're now a society where the median age is like 37 and a half years old. And about 80% of the population, I think it's 79 point something, was born from 1960 on. That's very significant. That explains a lot of what is going on today. What that means is that the vast majority of our population have lived their entire life under the perverted narration and bombardment and the pervasive lies and the control and the manipulation of humanism. Secularism, one and the same. Pluralism, humanism is pluralistic. Relativism, materialism, atheism, all are connected with the religion of the humanist. So the vast majority of our population have lived their entire lives not just in the classroom, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. They've lived their entire lives exposed to anti-God philosophies. And here's the foolishness. Well, they ought to know better, because when they were being raised, they were in church every Sunday and every Wednesday. That's 3 hours. Compare that to all the hours they sat in the religious classroom of humanism. It doesn't compare. It does not compare. And the vast majority of our population have lived their entire life in a society. Again, it's not just the classroom, but in a society infiltrated by the godless religion of humanism. I'm not bragging. Again, we've all been affected by humanism in our thinking to some degree. But I can remember very well, our kids never went to a public school, and I can remember very well preachers lecturing me on how that was not right. I'm sorry. If you want to talk about what's not right, let's talk about the public school system. It's evil. And it has been for a long, long time, going back to the early 60s. But even prior to that, I mean, humanism had already gotten in to some degree. So the vast majority of our population have lived their entire lives with their brains saturated with that which is twisted, that which is perverted and erroneous. They've lived their entire lives. Their brains are saturated with it. Even if they don't pay attention in school, we're bombarded with it. Television, radio. We did have TV in our house. Had I to do it over, probably wouldn't. It just doesn't make sense that you would raise your kids one way and then bring something in your house that teaches them just the opposite. It doesn't make sense. And again, my kids will say, well, you all were so strict. Not strict enough. not strict enough. Because there were inconsistencies. I wouldn't allow someone to come into my living room and curse. But you have that television. There's cursing that goes on there. Well, we turn it off. Every time you turn it off, it's too late. The word's already been said. So what is the result of this general rejection of God? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And then notice verse 21, but became. And all we need to just stop at those two words. Society knew God in an intellectual way, if you will, a natural consciousness of God. But they did not glorify God. They were not thankful to God. And they became something. But became. And you follow the history of our nation. Specifically, you take it from, begin with 1960 and go on. And you follow that, and you see that we have become something. And it's not good. But became. There was a progression. Really, we should say a digression. They became. What did they become? Or what did they become? They became vain in their imaginations. This is the result of they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. In other words, God was replaced. And they became. They became vain in their imaginations. And these very people would be the ones who would teach the children. They became vain in their imaginations. They became teachers, leaders. But in their minds, vain. Now that word vain, which we'll see, means much more than most people think. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. Because of that, they grow or digress into vain imaginations. And this is the pattern that is seen all through the Word of God. A rejection of God results in vanity of mind, vanity of imaginations. Again, this pattern is seen all through Scriptures. Notice in 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. And we'll read verse 15. And they rejected His statutes and His covenants that He made with their fathers. They rejected. They followed vanity. You remove God, you replace God with something. And what you replace Him with is vanity. And became vain. Now, two different things here. Following after vanity, that's bad enough. But you follow after vanity long enough, and they became vain. That's more serious. But it is the result of following vanity. Following vanity is the result of a rejection of God. A rejection of God leads to a following of vanity. You follow vanity long enough, you become vain. And when after the heathen that were round about them, that's the result of becoming vain, you follow the heathen. You follow the heathen. Humanist manifestos is the belief system of the heathen. Those without God. Those who reject God. Concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should do not, that they should not do like them. Reject God, follow after vanity, they become vain, and then they become very accustomed and they adopt the ways of the heathen. Jeremiah 10 verse 1 says, learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. That's where we are. That's what we've become in our society. We are a heathen nation who grasps, embraces humanism and secularism. But we'll continue next week looking at this vanity. But you reject God, and vanity is what follows. You can see that in the life of individuals. You see they reject God, and they become something. You can't reject God and not have consequences. And they become something. And what they become affects the next generation and the next and the next and the next. Pretty soon that cycle is almost unbreakable. God, of course, can intervene. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you do protect us. And we thank you, Lord, that you do reveal yourself to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would always reveal yourself, always show yourself to us. Lord, that you just help us. Help us as a society. Help us as your people. God, we do pray that as we assemble to worship you, that, Lord, our worship would be in spirit and truth. Lord, that it would glorify you. Lord, that you would save the lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.